Hey, hello. Welcome. Thanks for downloading Garden Fork Radio. My name is Eric. If this is your first time, Garden Fork is this eclectic DIY show where me and my friends talk about stuff we find interesting, and I hope that you find it interesting today as well. Today, we're going to talk about garbage disposals and how to be a better friend and Craftsman toolboxes with my friend Rick. Hello, sir.
Oh, good morning, my friend. How are you this morning?
I am not bad. It's 8:30. I've hydrated. I had oatmeal, and it's not freezing cold out, so let's go.
Yeah. I'm on plenty of coffee right now. I'm well caffeinated, but I haven't eaten anything yet. But, trying to get up earlier and do these things and have a little more energy than the last time. So
right, because when I texted you about doing the podcast, you had been staying in bed later. So, you texted me at 7:30 in the morning. And I'm like, oh, he's awake.
Yeah. I'm up by 5 almost every morning now.
Oh, okay.
So, then trying to, just make my life, get more out of the day for the sunshine, particularly now we switched from, daylight savings time to regular time. Do you know my watchdog is actually a sundial dog? They have to be because they kept bothering us for 2 weeks about, yeah,
it's
time to eat. And I said, no, you still have another hour. And they said, but we look at the sun and we can tell you it's time to eat right now.
It's funny how dogs communicate. I don't think cats do the same thing, but maybe they do. I don't have cats, but
we don't either. But, mine just stand and stare at me and they'll just stare and stare and stare until I, intuit what it is they want.
Hey. So quick, we were talking, before we started the show, we were talking about the podcast that we did with Rebecca, the Garden Fork registered dietitian. And I've actually gotten a lot of good feedback from that. People enjoyed having her on and they learned some stuff.
I enjoyed hearing her. I'm so glad that we found her.
Yeah. It's, it was just kind of serendipitous that she actually... For those who are new to the show, she left a review on our iTunes page, which that would be great if you did too. The Garden Fork Radio podcast 5-star review on iTunes would be great. Or the podcast app, sorry. And then we emailed and picked a date and boom, we are there. So if you are a subject matter expert on something, we'd like to hear from you. It's radio@gardenfork.tv.
Yeah, I really enjoyed hearing her, and she had some good thoughts, and always enjoy, professional people. But then, you had Will on, and Will is just so inspiring. You hear about all of his projects, and it's a little demoralizing because you feel like a slacker for the rest of the day. But his solar project using that. Kind of settee box, plastic box, to shield his batteries and equipment and stuff, I thought was just brilliant.
Yeah, it's a use what you got. And he happened to go to Costco and saw this outdoor plastic storage container. It's used for, I actually see it with sailboats and stuff. It's along the dock and it keeps your gear in there. But I've also seen people in their yards use it for sofa cushions, or sofa, whatever, outdoor cushions and stuff.
Yeah. So. Back when we had a pool before I filled it in, we had a couple of them around and you'd put your cushions inside to keep them dry when it rained. And then you could, you'll pull them out and use them and have some place to sit and all that. But, it's a brilliant idea. So, more kudos to Will. He just, amazes me every time he's on the radio. It's so much energy. I mean, he's just always popping. You just turn on the microphone and just let him go.
Yeah, unlike us.
It was interesting that Rebecca says, you were telling her, well, it took us a long time to get to this point. And it really did. I mean, when we first started doing this, however many years ago, you spent... we would spend 30 minutes talking and you'd spend 2 hours editing out my sailor talk. And we've learned over time to do a pretty clean podcast now.
So, yes. Thank you, Rick.
Well, I'm trainable still, I think. Yeah.
So I have an iPhone and I use the Firefox web browser, not the Safari, not the built-in Safari browser, because the Firefox one, you can put up some walls to all the trackers and stuff that are tracking you across the internet. And they, when you open up a blank empty page in Firefox, it loads this page called Pocket. And Pocket is actually an app in addition to just being a web page on the Firefox browser. But in the Firefox browser, it lists interesting articles that aren't just clickbait. It's from, you know, respectable, established online publications. And they always have really interesting articles. So I found this one. So like when I'm riding the train, actually in New York City, there is cellular service and Wi-Fi at the stations now. So I can load up an article or two. And then when I'm riding the subway, I just read an article. And this one caught my eye about the case for the Humble garbage disposal.
Really? I was just looking at, you got to see the picture that goes along with this. Are you gonna put a link in there?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. There must be half a ton of
cabbage
cutting. Yeah. Cabbage or something in the sink there that they're cutting away the bad stuff. And, I actually love my garbage disposal. I have not read the article. What does it say?
Well, it says there's the yin and yang for the garbage disposal, because in New York City, I used to be a contractor in New York City. People would want me to install a garbage disposal. And until fairly recently, they were not to code. You weren't allowed to install them. Part of it is because the infrastructure wasn't quite there, but also there's a lot of urban myths about garbage disposal. But to me, the garbage disposal is a built-in composter.
In a way, yeah.
So yeah. It basically grinds up stuff and then adds water to it. And the problem with a lot of food waste and waste in general, I mean, they're using New York City as an example because there's a lot of data, but in any town, you have to, the carbon footprint of your waste is pretty huge.
Yeah.
Like the garbage from New York City, even though they've streamlined it recently using barge and rail now, they compact all the garbage into these little, they look like mini shipping containers. They're stacked on custom-built barges or on rail cars, and they're sent, I think, to Virginia, perhaps, or Pennsylvania.
Thanks a lot.
But I think they put them in empty old coal mines or something.
Yeah.
But a garbage disposal, you're taking your food waste, and there's this built-in pipe that leaves from your house and goes to a waste processing facility.
Right. Now, our problem, they're actually here in Margaritaville Nord, discouraging us from using the garbage disposal as much as we used to, because they're having trouble handling the waste processing that they did. They tried to come up with a fertilizer composting process,
right?
But just way too many heavy metals in it, and toxins. You couldn't use it, for instance, on a on your garden,
right?
It had to be, or on your vegetable garden. It could be on a flower garden or something like that, or out in the yard. But so they're having trouble understanding what to do with the waste here. But have they fixed it there?
Yes, because they actually sell the sewage sludge from New York City to farmers upstate. I don't know what they've done. But in North Brooklyn, I live in South Brooklyn, when you're coming across the Brooklyn Queens Expressway, if you fly to LaGuardia, you're on the Brooklyn Queens Expressway, and you go up over a set of bridges between Queens and Brooklyn, and you see these purple eggs sticking up from the 2- and 4-story buildings of Greenpoint, Brooklyn. And those are anaerobic digesters that the Department of Sanitation has.
Really?
So they take the slurry, I guess you would call it a slurry, of human waste and food waste from the garbage disposals. It produces methane, which they then, I think they take it somewhere. They don't burn that off. And then they have some sort of system to remove heavy metals if there are any, and then they dry this stuff and then they send it upstate. So,
wow, you know, I was thinking about Will just now. There is a garbage disposal unit that is powered by water. You don't even need electricity. And it's made for homesteaders and people like that. And it grinds up the waste the way a normal garbage disposal would, except it uses water pressure to turn the rotor. And then it flows it out, separates the water, and the sludge goes into a tank that you can then use as an anaerobic digester. And so I was thinking about that as all this is going on, thinking, here, New York City has perfected it almost.
Yeah, but there's still myths persist here. Let's see here. The greatest block to in-sync disposal adoption are our misconceptions about them. Disposers are much more advanced than they used to be, says Carol Barakovich. She and this other guy, Mr. Kellerman, have worked to dispel other common concerns. Water and electricity use are minimal, according to InSinkErator, which makes the garbage disposals. The devices don't require much maintenance and often last a decade or more. Clogged pipes are rare because scraps are entirely pulverized. Almost everything can go down the disposer. Vegetables, fruit, meat, and pizza. And the newer models are nearly silent and not deadly. However, the Department of Environmental Protection of New York City cautions that further study disposers is necessary. Expert guy, deputy commissioner says, high rates of penetration for garbage grinders could have a negative environmental consequences, especially given the increasing demand, increasingly demanding regulatory context for nitrogen discharges and combined sewer overflows.
Oh, wow.
So you know, algae blooms.
I would not have written that sentence that way, but that's okay. Yeah. It's a little complicated, but algae blooms. Okay.
That was a run-on sentence, perhaps.
Yeah, a little tough there. But, it's amazing as people, we generate just enormous amounts of waste. And, I've been reading some articles recently and listening to some podcasts that although we are trained to separate now our waste into to garbage and recycling and that kind of thing, in the end, even the recycling is ending up in the landfills, because there's just nothing to be done with it anymore. A lot of the countries that we counted on to take our disposable plastics and recyclable things are just refusing to do so anymore. And so we're going to, I suppose, just drown in our own garbage eventually, which is the reason I, whenever I go to the Garden Fork Amazon store, and the option is what is it? Low packaging or
minimal packaging?
Minimal packaging. I always select that on anything that I get, just so that it comes in a cardboard box, which is still very recyclable, and without all the plastic doodads around it and whatnot. I don't know if they pay somebody to sit there and cut all that stuff out of the plastic, then pop it in a box for you. But I don't have to deal with the plastic anymore, and I'm thrilled with that.
There's actually a lot of merchants are, I don't know if they're requiring, but working with product producers to make much more eco-friendly packaging. So, I mean, like a USB thumb drive memory stick used to come in this clear plastic that could hang on a hook in a store. And now it's a cardboard presentation with a little bit of clear plastic in the middle holding the thumb drive.
Just a little bubble over it.
Right. So now you can tear off the cardboard and put that in your cardboard newspaper recycling and take the clear plastic and throw it in your classic recycling. The bigger problem is that I think in this country, people don't wash their recycled plastic before they put it in their recycle box. And countries like China are basically saying, we're not taking your dirty stuff anymore.
Yeah, and but do you know the standard is to wash everything three times?
Well, I don't wash it three times. I like we had a
Yeah.
container of guacamole and I just ran it under the sink and I washed out the guacamole and it looked pretty clean to me.
Yeah. You know, most of the time we just throw that stuff in the dishwasher and run it through the cycle.
There you go.
You know, it works. But still, the other thing to best do is just not bring it into the house.
Yo, I completely agree. I go to Costco and I used to buy, they would have a dozen or 15 apples, but the apples were in this giant, clear, vacuum formed, almost looked like a suitcase, like a little bubble for each apple in this giant, clear piece of plastic.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And I was like, at first, I was like, oh, great, apples, you know, and then I'm like, look at the plastic waste from buying a dozen apples. So now, I go to my regular grocery store and I have a reusable bag and I just buy loose apples.
Exactly. It's not that difficult. And I tell you, we have more reusable bags in the cars now. It just feels like if we ever have company that needs to ride with us,
Yeah, hold on.
we got to take all this stuff out before you can get in there because we're always walking in with these. And they even make cooler recyclable bags. You know, they were insulated
Right.
for frozen food and ice cream and that kind of thing. Not that I eat ice cream, of course.
No. Hey, real quick here. I was wondering if you wanted to join the Garden Fork email list. It's Maura Eric. I don't know if you want that or not. But the best way to do that, if you go to the gardenfork.tv site, there are signups all over the place. There should be one on every page. Also, in the show notes for this show, if you're listening to it in the iTunes app or one of the other podcast app, to click on the little, I think you click on the little text thumbnail of the show and the notes will pop up and there's a link in there. Or just go to gardenfork.tv and there should be a sign up there. All right. Thank you.
I wanted to ask you a question.
Okay.
Yeah. How can I be a better friend?
Rick, you are a great friend.
Well, I was reading this New York Times article that you'd sent over, and it seems like a lot of people miss out on a lot of the details of how to be a better friend or even a friend at all.
There's a part of the New York Times called a column called or a series called Smarter Living. And please don't roll your eyes at the New York Times. They are just as aggressive about going after Democrats as they are Republicans. You may think that they're super liberal, but I know some of the people there and they are not. But they have a great food section, cooking and stuff. And actually, Kenji Lopez Alt now writes for them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he
The
just.
the cook.
Yeah. He wrote the Food Lab book. But anyway, how to be
The
a better
chef.
friend, I think, is really important. I'm getting older, and some of my friends are starting to die now, and I've realized it is harder to make new friends as I get older.
Right.
And my closest friends are friends that I made either in college or right after college. And I still have some of those friends. So, but there's a whole article here about how to be a better friend.
You know, we lucked out in a lot of ways. The military, because you run across people all the time and over again. We have a group of about five families that all live within maybe three or four blocks of us that we have chased around the world many times, from assignment to assignment and, from hospital to hospital. And we get together. In fact, just last night we all went out and had dinner together. And it's just, we're all getting older. You know, I'm 67 next birthday. And we're all getting older, but we're all living close enough together that we can kind of help each other and support each other, and just visit and check in on each other. And this, we call it the committee meeting. And every Tuesday night, we get together and either at somebody's house or at a restaurant and, sit around and do the organ recital. That's, where you talk about your liver and then you talk about your kidneys and you talk about, but yeah, we have a great time doing that. But it's wonderful to have friends like that.
A 10-year Australian study found that older people with a large circle of friends were 22% less likely to die during the study period than those with fewer friends.
I read something recently and it's stuck with me, is that, if you're having trouble making friends or if you want to improve your friendships, that women bond face to face and men bond shoulder to shoulder. And I was kind of thinking about that with a lot of Will's projects where friends were coming over and they were all, digging that French drain around his garage and whatnot, and how for men, that's kind of a bonding experience in a way. Jimmy, my friend down the street, we both garden, and he likes to rearrange his gardens constantly. And so we're constantly down there moving bricks and then hauling dirt over to the new place where he wants a little more sun on his garden. But that's things that we do shoulder to shoulder. Sometimes we don't talk at all, hardly. We're just working. But in a way, it's still kind of a bonding process.
Yeah, it's like my I don't know if the word is transactional with some of my friends. Like, I have a friend who bought a cabin deep in the woods up near my house, and it's going to keep us busy for 10 years. And we don't really go, "Oh, how are you feeling?" I'm like, "Did you order the pieces for the chimney?" You know?
Right.
But through that, you might say, "Oh, yeah, my knees hurt."
exactly.
So, how, it's actually, and it's compounded because if you are married, it's even harder to find couple friends.
Yeah, that both all four people get together, get along.
Right.
That
And
that's always a problem,
that has been brought up to me by our neighbor, with our friends and our neighbors across the street, to the point that they had the key code to our house. They just would just walk in. Well, they knock and then they walk in. But they were just like, they're like, we have to stay friends because we don't get along.
I had just a pipe dream, because obviously I don't have the money to do it. But I'd often thought about like a cul-de-sac on a street and build houses that had two big master bedrooms, suites, and a shared common area. And that, the friends, my group of friends would all kind of move in. And as each spouse died off eventually, we'd kind of consolidate. And so you were always living with somebody you knew, that, and you're kind of a friend. Obviously, that has its limits because somebody's going to be the last person standing. But yeah, it was a way of aging in place and helping each other out until, you couldn't do it anymore. Because we struggled a lot with that with my parents, my in-laws. They just didn't have any support around them. They could have lived independently much longer than they did. It's just that there was no family in town. They didn't really have friends that could help them that much. And if people actually kind of co-opt in a way a process of condensing down and helping each other and supporting each other, they could stay in their own homes or in a home longer than going before they had to go to an institution or something.
In New York City, there's a program run through the city to match up older adults, excuse me, older adults that are living in a larger home, an apartment or a home, with young people that are in New York, you know, with a come for a job or something. And the younger person lives in the older person's home and they pay some rent, but they also agree to help the older person either with shopping or cooking or getting to the store or a doctor's appointment or something like that. And it works out really well. So they get a drastically reduced rent. And the older person has a built-in friend. It works out well.
Yeah, companion. We have, I think, two in my area. They were apartment buildings, and some people, two groups bought them and made them into condos for older folks. And they all own an equal share of their place, and they actually do help each other. And then they do have certain apartments that are for younger folks who actually do the maintenance around the place. They get free rent, I think. And they do maintenance around the place, keep everything up, and we'll even clean rooms for a fee, clean your apartment. Huh. And it's really working out quite well because, you know, we're relatively close to Old Dominion University. And so there are lots of kids that are in school that need someplace cheap to live and are willing to do a little bit of sweat equity in order to have a free place. So it works out for everybody.
There's a running theme through the article, and I'll link to it in our show notes here, but in most studies, proximity was not a factor in the benefits of friendship. So if you have a good friend and they're 100 miles away, but you talk on the phone or you Skype or FaceTime or something, it's the same as having a friend next door.
Wow. Now, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, I do consider people that I have never met. Like our good friend, Tony, the, Garden Fork scientist.
Yeah.
I've never met Tony. We came close once. He was in town and we just couldn't get the schedule worked out.
Right.
But, still, I consider Tony a friend, and we Skype back and forth. We, talk all the time. We email back and forth, deal on Facebook a little bit, you know, that kind of thing. Just, you know, keeping up with each other. And it's always a fun thing to do.
Well, I'll link to the article. It's the benefits of friendship, how to make friendships last, how to listen. And finally, how to argue with your friends. A tough thing right now in the world. Do you shop on Amazon? I shop locally and also on Amazon and other online stores. If I need something very specific, like seat covers for the new used car we just bought, I will go online and sometimes use Amazon. And Garden Fork happens to have a dedicated shopping page on the Amazon site now, which is very cool. It is an affiliate linked page. We do get a finder's fee for anything that you buy when you start shopping from that page. But I list there interesting items that I think are worthy of the Garden Fork DIY person. It's amazon.com/shop/gardenfork. If you would start your Amazon shopping experience, no matter what you're looking for on Amazon, start it at Garden Fork, and that would be great. It's amazon.com/shop/gardenfork. That's amazon.com/shop/gardenfork. Let's go on. We were already talking about this, but I want you to go over it again. You bought toolboxes and they're in your house.
Yeah. These came from the Blue Store. They're, I guess they bought out Craftsman from Sears is as near as I can tell what happened, but I needed storage in my office that I'm in here. And this room was a wreck. I mean, stuff just piled everywhere. And I'd gone to the cheap route and bought some of the plastic stacking containers and whatnot. But the weight of my gear, particularly photographic gear, was just too much for it. And a lot of my computer stuff was way too heavy for it. And so it was sagging and leaning. The drawers would stick, that kind of thing. And so I went down and I bought these two five drawer Craftsman. They're really rolling tool chests, what you'd find out, you know, normally you put them out in the garage. And each drawer holds 100 pounds each, 600 pounds total for the for each cabinet. And I have consolidated this entire room into like a mobile photo studio if I wanted to. I have now in this very small room made it so I can roll stuff around, get it out of the way, have things accessible. And it also is livable now. I can find things that I couldn't find in the past.
I have two of them. I have one in the workshop downstairs and one in the garage. And the only thing is the wheels. I mean, you know, they're competing on price, so I don't blame them. But the wheels are plastic. And unless you have a super smooth, very clean floor, they get stuck on little pieces of grit and stuff. So I'm actually going to buy some rolling casters.
Which is exactly what I did. I went down to Harbor Freight.
Yeah.
And I took one wheel with me to get the spacing on the bolts right. And I now have, instead of, normally these come with two non-castering wheels and two castering wheels.
The kind that spin, in other words.
Yeah. I have four caster wheels on it, and they're, what's this stuff roller skates are made out of now?
Oh, yeah, that rubbery stuff.
Yeah, whatever that stuff was. It's hard plastic, but it rolls over anything, you know. And they're nice 4-inch sized wheels, so yeah, I could go over the sill really easily if I need to get out of the room.
I'm all about everything on wheels, and the camera operator's not too thrilled about that. But that way, I can move it to vacuum underneath it.
Ah, see, that's something I've yet to really master, is how to run a vacuum cleaner.
Oh,
but I'm looking forward. I'm due for lessons real soon.
All right, so I think probably people have got to their destination. They're sitting in their car, just perhaps getting ready to do a short meditation with the Headspace app before they go conquer the world in their office, right?
Are you still using Headspace?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Yeah, I kind of gave it up, and I'm thinking about picking it up again.
Nothing wrong with that. It's kind of like yoga or swimming, or you know, sometimes you stop, sometimes you go.
Yeah. Or it's like beekeeping. You do it for a while, you quit, and then you do it for a while again. That's the way it works for me.
Yeah, I think I'm done.
You say that, but eventually you'll be back.
Well, I'm mentoring two people who have bees in a community garden, so that's my fill of beekeeping. I'm like, I can go down there. They give me a key to the gate. You know, I meet them there, we do a little work, and I'm like, I'm happy to help, but they're not mine. And then at the end of the year, they gave me a jar of honey. And I'm like, okay, it's pretty good.
You got it made. You know, when I had a lot of hives around the neighborhood, when I gave up my bee yard, and I had like 10 hives, and I was paying a fair amount of money for this yard. And I just went around to my neighbors that I knew gardened, said, you know, can I put a hive in your backyard? And I'll give you a couple of jars of honey if I get anything off of it. And that worked out beautifully until the hive started dying off. But yeah. It really, if you're creative, you can make a go of things.
Well, you're very creative with your toolboxes. Maybe you could send me a picture of the toolboxes.
Okay, I'll do that.
Now everyone's going to go out and put tool carts in their house. And they're like, well, Rick did it.
Well, but it just... crafting and, you know, one has all my electronic gear in it, repair gear and, the soldering irons and stuff that I really don't need to do in the garage. And, it's nice to have it here. And you pull one drawer out, you put a board across it, and all of a sudden you have a workspace. Really makes, being in this room a pleasure. If it wasn't for me, it'd be a tremendous pleasure. I did want to tell you that I've been investing in beef stock and in chicken stock And I hope someday to be a billionaire.
Thank you.
That's my joke. It's the only joke I know.
All right, real quick. Reviews are a huge deal for us because that surfaces Garden Fork Radio to new people when they go searching on iTunes for things to listen to. We get recommended. And we have 222 ratings, averaging 5 stars. And we have a new one from Adriana. And it's the title is Registered Dietitian Tells All, 5 stars.
Oh, really, wow.
Really enjoyed listening to Rebecca talk about all things nutrition. Learned something new about the different strains of yogurt and their benefit to our gut health. So good. Thank you, Garden Fork Radio, for sharing so many interesting things and informative topics.
Wow. Isn't that nice? What was the name? Ariana?
Adriana.
Adriana. Okay.
I hope we're saying that right.
Yeah. But, you know, one of the things I did learn is about the importance of what was it that she called the prebiotic. Prebiotics. And, you know, having roughage for the good bacteria to grow on.
Yes.
And so it makes me feel good every time I stop by the supermarket. If I'm really hungry, I'll buy one of those little vegetable trays that has a little tiny, you know, container of dip in it.
Yeah.
And I'll eat that instead of stopping at fast food place or something. And that's helping my microbiome. I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Vegetable fiber. You can get it many different ways. Eat more fiber. How's that for a mantra? All right. So radio@gardenfork.tv. Always like to hear from you guys. It's a lot of fun to do this. So go out and do cool stuff. All right. Make it a great day. Garden Fork Radio's executive producer is Jimmy Gutz. You can find more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes at hollowbooks.com. Our theme music is used under license from uniquetracks.com. Other music used in the show is used under license from audioblocks.com.